Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Interview. We have Sam Trevithick from Shapeshifter joining us on the line. Before we talk to Sam, I will remind you we are doing a giveaway of Shapeshifter's, we're giving away a double pass to Shapeshifter's Dunedin Town Hall show this Friday. If you're interested in winning this double pass or entering the draw to win this double pass, text into 021 272 3461. Let me know what your favourite New Zealand music video has been, and then you'll be in the draw. And you might win a double pass. And now we have Sam Trevithick from Shapeshifter on the line, joining us from, I assume, Tamaki Makaurau or Ōtautahi Christchurch.
Ōtautahi Christchurch.
Ooh. Hell yeah. How's it going, Sam?
It's going pretty good. Thank you, Zach. Yeah, a bit cold, you know, how it is. I'm sure there's a beautiful haiku that explains the feeling right now. It doesn't come to mind. I'm not a haiku person, creator, but it's cool. It's all good.
Things are chilling. I love that coat on you, man. For all the listeners at home, Sam is wearing a beautiful, big, is it a puffer coat or is it like a fabric-y coat?
It is a puffer jacket.
Oh, it's a great, beautiful, like deep, rich blue puffer jacket from MacPack.
Yeah, it feels good. Feels toasty. I'm just in the studio right now, and I only just got in, and it takes a while for the heater to, you know,
to get pumping.
Yeah, so might as well feel comfy. Yeah,
there was a recent little profile on you in the post where they asked you a few favorite questions. You know, favorite TV show, which I think you said Drive to Survive, and you said that you'd been listening to the or reading the Dune books, and it's the third time you've been on the Dune buzz. What do you think of the Dune movies?
I love them. I think it's amazing. I think it's really masterful. Obviously, I don't know, Dune's a pretty famous series. They called it a trilogy in the article, but it's not. There's tons of books.
There's too many books because Frank Herbert was on cocaine all the time.
Was he?
Yeah, and then his son, and then when he died, his son was on cocaine all the time.
Is that right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Freud was on cocaine too, so there you go.
Exactly.
But look, I just think that the writing is incredible. It's so lyrical and poetic, and just the whole world and the time scale of the story is massive. It blows Lord of the Rings out of the water as far as I'm concerned. If there was a comparison to be made, you know, not that we need to do that, but because I'm a bit of a fantasy guy. Well, I'm more of a sci-fi guy, to be honest. I love sci-fi. That's my favorite genre of books to read. And usually I'm reading things, but Polder, actually, P. Diggs, he was harping on to me about Dune for a while, and he'd just break into these kind of descriptions of the plot, you know, with no context. And, you know, that's, you know, Paul Atreides is more deep, you know. He is... The Queen's out, I don't know. I'm like, cool, bro. You know, that's awesome. We kind of blaze, tell these, you know, stories. And I'm like, man, we've told this one before. And also, I have no idea. So I finally started listening. And the narrator, Simon Vance, is just incredible. Like, if you ever want to get an idea of how to narrate something, just listen to his, you know, what he puts in into the expression and the cadence, and just bringing the words to life with the sort of intonation that he does. And then every single character has his own unique voice, and he maintains that for hours and hours, and it just sucks you into this world, this dream. I'm a big fan. So, and it's also like I love using books to kind of, it's almost like a meditation, sort of to take you away at the end of a day of crazy life, or, you know, whatever your thoughts are. And sci-fi is my favorite for that. And just listening before I go to sleep, it's kind of like a nice little palate cleanser for the brain.
Yeah, and then you can have dreams where you are the Lisan al-Ghaib, you know, and you're,
yeah.
Taking revenge on the Harkonnens. Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool, man. I appreciate how in-depth that was. That was great. Looking back on the origins of Shapeshifter, it began in music school in Australia. You and your bandmates used to have cafe jobs, but often the bosses weren't super forgiving about you guys getting up and going on tour. So after a tour, you'd have to go and find another job. Was that the most that you've ever had to hustle in your life?
Hustling. Yeah, maybe. Like, we didn't start in Australia. We started here in Ōtautahi, in music school, jazz school here. We're a New Zealand band, and we were here for about a year and a half, 2 years before we decided to move to Melbourne. I suppose it was kind of stressful, you know, being young. I mean, that's kind of, you're still figuring out. Well, not even figuring out life, you're just doing it, right? And a job is a means to an end. And I feel very fortunate to have known from the age of about 18 what I really wanted to do with my life. And so that was my drive. It was almost like, it was anxious and it was a hustle. But the jobs were just a means to an end. So I don't really care about the jobs at all, and quitting the job to go to tour is a no-brainer. Mm. It was like, I'll figure it out when I get back, and hospitality is kind of good like that, right? You know, you can just
go in and get out whenever you want.
Yeah. So that was kind of a blessing, and there wasn't a battle between like a career or a vocation or, you know, some sort of educational thing. Like, I wasn't studying to be a dentist or something, and trying to have a music career. I was just like all in on the music, so there was no stress in terms of that sort of hustle. But yeah, we were just trying to hustle on the music side, really, just, you know, trying to put everything we could into that.
Mm. And it paid off in dividends. Apologies for saying that you started off in Australia. I must have gotten the wrong end of the stick on a certain interview I saw. I think it was the 1NZ interview.
You're right on that one, you know.
It happens. You know, Solstice is turning 20 this year, which is pretty crazy. What is the biggest change or changes that you've seen in New Zealand music and music culture over the past two decades?
Whew, that's a big question. Look, I think back when Solstice was made, we were still in the kind of nascent world of believing in New Zealand music. You know, I think there's a lot of things that contributed to that. New Zealand music quota, Helen Clark introducing the musician's wage where you could get paid, you know, if you were on the benefit, if you're a musician. Even those two things made you really feel valued, and sort of manifested this big storm of New Zealand music. You know, Freddie's emerged from that, and the Black Seeds and Catch a Fire, a lot of bands, and then, you know, moving through onto like 660 and LAB, you know, big bands that lots of Kiwis love. I mean, doing stadium shows and shit. But before that, you know, when we started, it was like this real New Zealand music just wasn't loved or cool, really, apart from, you know, Split Enz and shit. But you know what I mean? And now I think it's just it's a level playing field, you know, whether it's Kiwi music or not. In terms of the music industry in general, yeah, that's like, it's pretty crazy out there, you know?
It's always been a bit of a vampire.
yeah, for sure. I mean, I think streaming's changed everything. The internet, it's hard to know. I think I feel like if I was a new artist, I would, I think it's a lot more difficult to find your voice these days. Yeah. So, you know, I really admire people that are throwing everything into music, especially starting out, because it feels like there's a lot more stuff. You know, when we were in the CD era, still had to go through a record company, or you make your own record company, you got to do all the pressing and stuff like that. And now, you know, the gatekeepers, in inverted commas, are gone, sort of. But you can just release your own music and, you know, establish yourself on socials and you're away kind of thing.
How big was electronic music in New Zealand by the time you guys started? Because from what I've learned about New Zealand music history is that there were, like, you know, maybe a handful of electronic artists, but it feels like maybe we were late adopters, because the big name I can think of that comes to mind is, like, the Nomad before your time. You know, how big was it, electronic music, when you started in New Zealand?
Well, you know, like, I came at it I was kind of first into metal and stuff, but then I flipped into trance and stuff when I was about 16. And we had a really strong scene, you know. We had cats like Mechanism or Micronism or Epsilon Blue, that's all the same person, but making really incredible dance music. The Nomad, of course, you named him. Pitch Black. I feel like we had a really strong scene there, and I don't feel like we were late adopters. I mean, maybe if you're going to compare, you know, New Zealand scene to, like, the Chicago scene or maybe the English scene, but we were pretty quick on the money with jungle culture, you know, that sort of dance music culture, because we were having raves really early on. The international producers du jour, or the DJs, were coming to play big parties, for example, in Christchurch. You know, 1,000 people would turn up to see Ed Rush and Optical in 1996. And no one, you know, Australia didn't know what the hell was going on. They weren't on their jungle thing. Like, and I feel like, because of the size of the country and just the culture that we have and how things can just sort of take off like a flash fire, that really happened with dance music culture. So we had a real, you know, I don't feel like we're late adopters like that. I feel like we actually have it ingrained in our DNA now for quite a long time.
Okay, that's cool. I am very happy to be proven wrong there. That's awesome. You're going on this huge tour across the country. It's so extensive that you're playing Methven. Do you know the population of Methven?
Oh, can I guess? Do you know?
You can guess. Yeah.
I'm going to say 1,200.
1,200. Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to quickly check Wikipedia. Oh my goodness, 1,200. It is a little bit over. It's a little bit below that. It's below double that. It's 2,100. Okay. 2,100. That's such a niche spot to play.
Yeah, man. We've played it before, actually. Like, when we did our last album, Rituals, we played a lot of that material live because we wanted to record it live and we wanted to play a lot of the music out. So we did a couple of nights in the Methven Town Hall there, and it was wicked, you know. Kind of my favorite spot in the world is the foothills of the Southern Alps. And Methven's right there. It's right in the knuck of the foothills of the Southern Alps. And, you know, I love my mountains. I love snowboarding and getting cold and stuff. So it's really, it's wicked. You know, Queenstown's just, that whole zone is so touristy and so, it's hard to chill. You know what I mean? But Methven's very chill. I love it. So, yeah.
Mean. In Dunedin, you're getting support from DJ Pearly. Were you aware that there's a sizable or popular rock band down here called Pearly?
No.
Oh, true. That's because when I first saw it on the poster, I was like, Pearly opening for Shapeshifter. That's crazy.
Well, we debated having bands opening for us, and it's something that I'm really keen on. You know, I'm a DJ as well. I've been DJing for a long time, and I do love DJ culture. But I'm also, you know, I love seeing live music and bands, especially when things that seem to be getting more and more kind of like one person act with a backing track kind of buzz. You know, I love live music and I love seeing bands, but it's just really hard to take a band on a whole tour of the country playing smaller venues and the logistics of it. So what's Pearly all about?
They're like sort of 90s angsty indie rock, and they go pretty hard.
Man.
Yeah. Check him out. Check him out.
Yeah.
The tour is kicking off in New Zealand Music Month. Are there any surprises for Shapeshifter lovers in store at your shows?
Yeah, there are. If anyone's seen us, you know, if there are any fans that like have followed our career and seen us live for quite a while, then there's definitely some nuggets. I don't really want to say much more than that, but we've worked hard on the set. You know, we've really thought about it. It's kind of buzzy looking back. You know, we as a group, and I think as artists, you always want to look forward. You know, what's next? What's my next step? Mm-hmm. Where am I going? Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And looking back and celebrating work, especially that's 20 years old, it's quite a head trip. And
it's pretty emotional, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely. It brings up a lot of memories, a lot of emotions. You know, you think about life and changes and all that sort of stuff. But also just how to present the work and you know, right now in the best way you can. It's taken a lot of planning musically, so I'm really pumped, actually. Yeah.
Mm. Awesome. I love that. I love that energy coming into this super cool tour. It's great to have you on the program, Sam. I'm very, very thankful for your time this morning. Do you have any final thoughts or opinions to leave our listeners with?
Look, there, just because you said you were talking about that article and podcasts and stuff like that. We weren't talking about podcasts, we were talking about audiobooks. But I was listening to a podcast during COVID about Prince, because I love Prince. Mm-hmm. I saw him a couple of times live, and but he used to say to his band all the time, be like water. And his band would rehearse 6 days a week and 7 days a week, and they were just like absolute motherfuckers. But he always used to say, you know, because it's like high sort of risk music, you know, it's jamming, mm-hmm. but at a virtuoso level. And he always used to say to his band, be like water. You know, it doesn't really matter. You just got to do flow. So, yeah.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Thank you so much, Sam. Take care, man. Take care. Cheers. Folks, that was Sam Trevithick from Shapeshifter. We're talking to Sam about their tour, Shapeshifter's tour around the country, about Shapeshifter playing the Town Hall here in Otipoti. If you're interested in buying some tickets, you can buy tickets from ticketek.co.nz. You can also find their tour dates on the Shapeshifter website, which is shapeshifter.co.nz. Or if you'd like to bypass paying for a ticket entirely, you can text in your favourite New Zealand music video to 021 272 3461 and enter the draw to win a double pass to go see Shapeshifter at the Dunedin Town Hall. Coming up, we have the Clowning Around at 9:45. We'll also be joined by another guest, Associate Professor Daniel Kingston at 10. We'll be talking about El Nino and its effects on the country. Here is Shapeshifter with One. You are listening to The One. Keep it locked.
Seeds, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.